you glad they take in washing? I sure am. I think I'm going to take my washing all the way to Gainesville for them to do. Well, Terry, Vic, and Charlie must be down the road a piece, so we'll welcome our musical saw player, Aubrey Dunscombe from Gainesville, back to the stage. And Barbara Mueller will accompany. I want to pass the word around again. I have to keep telling you that there's some things. I think I swallowed a gnat. There's some sinful things, just three around here. Not to have a good time. Not to appear without your shirt on. That's very sinful. And you'll be invited out if you do that. And your dog is also sinful. Don't bring your dog. Time way down yonder, way down about 40 miles. Yep, but don't bring him in. Okay. Here's Aubrey.
Cousin Selma, I found that my new saw gives so much better tone that I just left my old saw
to home.
Well, I didn't leave it in home, but I left it in the car. Some of you folks wonder how I'm getting a tone out of this piece of steel. No different, except you're playing on steel instead of playing on strings with a violin. The way I get the tone is to bend the saw in an S curve, and then I strike it with the bow on the inside of that S curve. You can well see that most of the hard playing is right here in these three fingers. If you don't have them good and strong, you can't very well play a saw. My first number is one which you would be greeted with when you come to the Hawaiian Islands and they throw the flower leaves around you. Aloha oi. beautiful Stephen Foster melody, Beautiful Dreamer.
Aubrey has a son who is a very distinguished cellist at FSU. He's a member of the faculty at FSU, and some of you who are from Tallahassee might not know that. Oh, my goodness. You mean he's gone? Oh, playing with the Portland Symphony Orchestra. Let's give him a hand in absentia. That's marvelous. I have to make little announcements from time to time. This one, you better hurry. The Colonial Chimney is coming down, and there's a Plymouth four-door gray car that's in the way. Don't want to be showered with a chimney, do you? 11W, that's Alachua County, 7665. Run, move your car real quick. Before the chimney hits it. And a black something, LTD 29W, 1676, you left your lights on. You don't want your battery to die, do you? So let's move them. Bertha Bloodworth and I have a lot in common. She's a Gainesvillian, and I'm a former Gainesvillian. I grew up in Gainesville. But we have something even better than that. Bertha was a student of mine at Gainesville High School when I was a speech teacher there. And Bertha's gone on to glory. She's the author of Place Names of Florida, and she's here to share some of the fascinating things about names, place names. Place names of Florida. My dear friend, Bertha Bloodworth.
Can you hear me out there? A long time ago, excuse me, a long time ago in Florida, there was an Indian village where the squaws had been strictly forbidden to speak to anybody outside the tribe. And one day, a group of Spanish explorers came through, and one of them asked one of the squaws what the name of the place was. The squaw remembered her orders, and so she looked inquiringly at a nearby brave, who graciously nodded and said, "You may tell them." So the explorers called the place Umatillum, and eventually this became Umatilla, and that's how Umatilla, Florida, got its name. Now, that's a folk tale, which means that nobody knows who told it first, and you can't put too much stock in it, but people keep on telling it. The real truth about the name of Umatilla is that it was named for a place in Oregon. At the time when they needed a name for this place, the man who suggested the name happened to be in correspondence with somebody in Umatilla, Oregon, and he liked the name. It is said to be an Indian word meaning water rippling over the sand. And if that is so, then, of course, it is a name that belongs in Florida, even if it was in Oregon first. Now, here's another folk tale, and I bet you've heard this one. An Indian brave way down south told an Indian maid how beautiful she was, and she said, "My, am I?" And that's, mysteriously enough, is how Florida's largest city got its name. Actually, Miami is one of Florida's descriptive names. It was the first known name of Lake Okeechobee, and it apparently meant something like, "It is so wide," or "big water." By the time Florida's magic city needed a name, Miami was the name of the river on which it was situated. And so that was how the city of Miami really got its name. And then there's Kissimmee. Have you heard that one? An Indian brave, again, told an Indian princess how much he loved her. And she said, "Well, kissy me." Now, the truth here is nobody knows the meaning of the name Kissimmee. It's a very ancient name in Florida and probably is in one of the lost Indian dialects. When the town, which is now the seat of Osceola County, needed a name in 1883, Kissimmee was chosen because it already was there in the area. Some people say it means happy hunting grounds. Others say it means mulberries are there, but nobody really knows. Not really. How many folk tales have you heard about the name Micanopy? One of them is claims that an Irishman who ran the trading post there was very slow in paying his debts. And so somebody, probably an Indian, said of him, "Mickey, no pay." Another one of these stories is that when the Indians bought things at the early trading post there, they repeatedly said, "Me can no pay." Another one is about the Indian who offered to help open a particularly difficult crate of merchandise by saying, "Me can opie." Now, these are only three of a great many stories about the name Micanopy that presumably explain the name, and you probably could tell me some. It actually is named after a Seminole head chief of the 19th century. Here's one I love, about a place called Estefanolga in Madison County. The folk explanation is that a traveler came upon the body of a dead Indian here, and he said, "He's stiff and ugly." The truth probably is that it's a corruption of the of an Indian word meaning Spaniard clan, one of the nine clans of the Creek Federation. Notice that in all these instances, all these examples that I have given, the story arose after the name was given and was built around the sound of the name. All of the stories are obviously fun stories, just sillies. But this process of folk etymology, that is making sense out of a foreign or unknown word by relating it to sounds in your own language, sometimes results in honest errors, which are very interesting. The name of Key West is an instance of this. When English-speaking people took over Florida, they translated some of the Spanish names into English, left some of them as they were, and changed others entirely. Key West was one of the ones they translated, or that they meant to translate. In Spanish, the little island was called Cayo Hueso, which means bone key, for a very interesting reason, which doesn't fit into this speech. The English, thank you. The English people knew that Cayo meant key, but for the rest, they relied on their ears, partly, for hueso sounded a little like west to them, and partly on their charts, which told them that Key West was the westernmost of the main body of Florida Keys. And so we have Key West, an honest mistake resulting from folk etymology. But back to folk tales. Besides the made-up stories to explain names they didn't understand, Floridians tell tales about other places which sound like folk tales but may not be. For instance, in Washington County, there's a place called Norum. The only explanation I've ever heard is the old settler's story that the man who established the post office there, a Mr. Bostick, was very fond of homemade rum. So he went into town one day to get some, went with a friend. The town was called Wilder then. The friend went in to get the rum, and Bostick sat out in the buggy waiting for him, thinking about the proposition of establishing a post office there, and he got into very deep thought about what he would name the place when his friend came back and announced, "No rum." Take it or leave it, it's the only explanation I have. Two Egg in Jackson County is another place that arouses a great deal of interest, the name does. And some say it began when two brothers opened a country store there, and then their first customer asked for two eggs. Other people tell a better story, one that has more convincing details in it. In this story, the two brothers opened a country store, and their first customer was a child who put two eggs on the counter and said, "Mama says to send her one egg's worth of bladder snuff and one egg's worth of ball potash." Now, folk etymology are truth. These tales are fun to hear and fun to tell. Even the river behind me, the Suwannee, may have been named by a process of folk etymology. Listen to the sound of the name, Suwannee. It bears an amazing resemblance to the first part of the name of a Spanish mission that once stood on the banks of the Suwannee. San Juan y San Pablo. San Juan y San Pablo, Suwannee, see? And there's some evidence on the old charts that this sound resemblance might really have been responsible for the name Suwannee. Do you suppose it was? Even no matter what Juliet said to Romeo, there may be a good bit in a name. There's often, for one thing, a lot of good folk tales.
Just think, if we get wet, we won't have to take a bath tonight. Isn't that nice? Carol, you here? Great. Oh, that's fine. Well, we'll just snuggle up. You don't mind if we snuggle up to you, do you?
No.
Here's a very pretty girl, a fine singer, who's been singing country music since she was knee-high to a June bug. Let's welcome Carol Whatley from Bell. Big hand. Come right here.
You know, they say everything has to have a beginning, and country music had its beginning with Jimmy Rogers. Well, he was a sick man. He had TB all of his life, and he finally died of the disease, but he wrote a song about it, and it showed some of the humor that he had towards life, even though that he was dying. It's called TB Blues. My good guy's trying to make a fool out of me. But the graveyard is a lonesome place. That old graveyard is a lonesome place. They put you on your back and put the mud down in your face. I got that old TV and I can't need a bite. I got that old TV and I can't need a bite. It's got me worried so to where I can't even sleep at night. I got the TB blues. And Tom T. Hall, he's known for telling stories. And he told one of, in this, you know, the newest one he's got now is called Ravishing Ruby. Ravishing Ruby, I've been around for a while. Oh, Ravishing Ruby, I was a truck stop child, born in the back of a rig somewhere near L.A. You better believe it when I tell you I've served a lot of hot coffee in my day. You know it's not true, I'll believe anything you say. Oh, but my daddy did say he'd be back someday. He left when I was 14. I grew up free and lonely. All the while I've been waiting on you. I'm waiting for him to come back to me. Oh, Ravishing Ruby, I sleep in a bug out bag. Every night I close my eyes, a dream of a man named Smiling Jack. a lot of hot coffee in my day. Ravishing Ruby, I've been around for a while. Oh, Ravishing Ruby, I was a truck stop child. He left when I was 14. I grew up free and lonely. All the time I've been waiting on you, I'm waiting for him to come back to me. In the rain before, and I'm one of those fortunate people that have a sinus problem, and so right now I'm going to try to do Mule Skinner. I doubt if I do, but I'm going to try.
I see it's hardly raining at all. Yeah, just and I'm gonna have to take a bath, so everything's just lovely. Isn't Carol great? Let's give her another hand. It's very exciting to see these girls grow in talent and grow in stature. Through the years. This is your third or fourth time?
Third.
This is her third time at Florida Folk Festival, and we hope it won't be your last. Now, we have a little newcomer, and she's the only person on the program who's not a Florida cracker, but she's most as good because she's a Georgia peach, and she's from Macon, and a lovely, lovely folk singer. Let's welcome Joy Carter from Macon, Georgia. We have lots of newspaper over there in the information booth if you want to get some, put on your seat and keep your fanny dry.
No, just a voice. The music that I do is a bit different from anything I've heard here so far. My interest is in Scottish, Irish, and English music. And I do mainly ballads and traditional songs. I wanted to start off with one which is about a historical person, the third wife of Henry VIII. And the song was written after her death. She died in childbirth, sort of. According to the song, and this is the folklore about it, was that she was delivered by a Caesarean section and then died, of course. However, that's not true. The baby was born normally, and she died because of improper care. You know, they just didn't know what to do with her or something. But she did die. But the legend grew up that, you know, she had died because of the birth. It's called Queen Jane. Queen Jane lay in labor for 9 days and more, and her ladies grew tired and wished it were o'er. Good women, will ye do one thing for me? Will you open my right side and find my baby? Oh no, said the women, this thing can never be. We will call for King Henry and hear what he say. King Henry was sent for on horseback in speed. King Henry came to her in the time of her need. Oh, Henry, good King Henry, if that you do be, will you open my right side and find my baby? Oh no, said King Henry, that's a thing I'll never do. If I lose my fair flower, I will lose a branch too. They gave her some cordial that put her in a swoon, and they opened her right side, and the baby was found. King Henry's gone in mourning, and so have his men, and so has the baby, for Queen Jane was dead. How bright was the morning, how yellow was the room, how costly the white robes Queen Jane was wrapped in. King Henry, how he weeps, he's wrung his hands till they're sore. The fair flower of England will ne'er bloom no more. Queen Jane. Wow, it stopped raining. I have to close my eyes while I sing, so I have to look at you or something. I'm not sure why, but it stopped raining. I'm going to change the pace a little bit. And this is a song, it's done in a sort of a Scottish dialect. I'm not Scottish. and so my dialect is not the best. But I learned it from a fellow from Edinburgh, and so I have sort of a dialect. He doesn't really have a dialect either. In Edinburgh, it's so cosmopolitan. It's in Scotland, I don't know if it's because they're all Presbyterian and sort of strict about things, but they have a tradition that if a couple is courting, the man can come to see the girl at night when everybody's asleep and climb in the window and spend the night and then leave in the morning. And that way nobody theoretically knows about it. That's why they get married sort of fast sometimes too. But this is a song about a girl who whose mother won't let her out, but she manages to get around it. It's called Last Skin Ye Would Think It Right. In other words, last do you think it would be all right? I last and ye would think it right to gang with me this very night. We'll cuddle till the morning light by all the lave unseen, oh, and ye shall be my dearie, my ain dearest dearie. He shall be my dearie, can ye meet me at Eno? I dare not leave my mammy Kay. She locks the door and keeps the key, and every morning charges me and I about the minnow. She says they're all deceivers, deceivers, deceivers. Says they're all deceivers, she canna trust the innow. Ah, never mind your mammy, she'll need to. She met your dad herself. Shoot your flight, you may her tell. She's often done the same, oh. So lassie, gee your hand in it, here a bonny milk-white hand in it. Lassie, gee your hand in it, and scorn to lie a lane, oh. I'll add my hand a canna gee, but faith and I might steal the key and meet ye at the birken tree that grows down in the glen, oh. But dinna listen, laddie, I canna promise, laddie. Dinna listen, laddie, in case I canna win, oh. Now he's gone to the birken tree and hoped his true love there to see, who's come traipsing o'er the lea but just his bonny Jean, oh. And she's laid down beside him, beside him, beside him. She's laid down beside him among the grass a-green, oh. I'm overjoyed with rapture new, cried he and kissed her cherry moo, and Jeanie ne'er had caused a rue that nicked upon the green, oh. For she has got her Johnny, her sweet and loving Johnny. She has got her Johnny, and Johnny's got his Jean, oh. For the last song I want to do, it's I'm not sure if this is a modern song or not, but it's in the folk tradition. And it's about the people that you have primarily in Scotland called the traveling folk. They're not gypsies and they're not tinkers. Louder? What? Anyway, the traveling folk travel around, and no one really knows where they're from. And they have a problem. You know, in the summer it's nice. You can travel around in your caravans and sleep out under the stars. But it gets cold in the winter, and it rains, and it's not so much fun. And the people don't like them in the towns. You know, they consider them like gypsies, and they run them out of town. This song is written about the winter, which is called Terror Time. The heather will fade, and the bracken will die. Streams will run cold and clear, and the small birds will be going. And it's then you will be knowing that the time is near. It's where will you go, and where will you bide? Now that the work's all done, and the farmer does not need you, and the council will not heed you, and the terror time
come. Thou wouldst give no shelter, and the trees they are bare. Snow's lying all around, and the children they are crying. For the bed on which they're lying is frozen to the ground. When you need the warmth of your own humankind, you move near a town, but the sight of you's offending, and the police they'll soon be sending, and you're on the road again. Thank you.
How many of you have bought a program? Let's see how many. That's good. All of you ought to buy one to take home because they're collector's items. The pictures, the program notes are real special. And so you ought to buy one to take home with you. We put it together with lots of perspiration and work.
Showing to me, see, and this pretty little thing sat down in front of me. Well, I leaned over and asked her if she liked some company, but I nearly died when she turned out to be a he. And I can't tell the boys from the girls, and friend, it's really messing up my world. They all wear long hair and bouncy curls, and I can't tell the boys from the girls. Well, I'm gonna leave this city and go home. I guess that I will always live alone. I'll never make the same mistake by coming here again, 'cause I can't tell the difference between the hers and hims, and I can't tell the boys from the girls. And friend, it's really messing up my world. They all wear long hair and bouncy curls, and I can't tell the boys from the girls. No, I can't tell the boys from the girls.
Thank you very much. For our final number, we'd like to let Zane play another banjo tune for you called Banjo Signal.
All right,
there you go. Zane? Thank you. Thank you very much. We certainly enjoyed playing.